Tom. Something I actually don't think we've covered on Tom's History Corner. We've come close. We've gotten near it. But the university used to have abundant fruit orchards long ago in the area of campus where Gamble is today. And then later, as UConn became more built up, there was something called the Cold Spring Orchard off campus. And the orchard was closed down years ago, and we're going to hear more about that. But today, the plant science department in the College of Agriculture, Health, and Natural Resources is actually getting that all started up again. Here with us today to tell us all about those efforts is Evan Lentz, who's an assistant extension educator of fruit production and integrated pest management. Evan graduated from UConn in 2022 with his master's in plant science, and before that earned his bachelor's degree here in sustainable plant and soil systems. And his research combines traditional production, integrated pest management, and precision agricultural technology to help out Connecticut's commercial fruit growers. Welcome, Evan, to the well-oiled machine that is UConn 360.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be here.
So you have a long history of farming in your family, I've heard. Can you tell us how you've come to UConn to come help us establish some fruit orchards?
Yeah. So it's kind of a disjointed story, but my grandparents, they owned a farm and nursery in Middlefield, Connecticut that used to be called Parati's. It's still open now. It's under new owners, Country Flower Farms, but they primarily did bedding annuals, vegetables, and things like that. So, you know, my mom and uncles all grew up on a farm. So that was kind of really, I guess, just part of my upbringing, kind of being close to nature, or at least being aware of, you know, where your food comes from and things like that. And it's been kind of a roundabout journey to get, you know, to agriculture myself as for like a career. I think right out of high school, I went to 4 or 5 different universities and colleges, had 4 or 5 different majors, and nothing really stuck. I just decided to take a break for a while, and I ended up at this job at a retail nursery 1 year. Really liked, you know, the vibe, just being surrounded by plants, and, it, you know, you're hard-pressed to find someone who's upset coming into a nursery or buying flowers and things like that. Yeah, and then I thought about, hey, maybe I'll go do UConn's Master Gardener program just to learn more about plants and, you know, how to care for them. And when I was considering that, I was also considering going back to school again to try to get a degree. And I thought, hey, if I'm going to be going to do this Master Gardener program anyways at UConn, why not just see what the College of Ag has to offer? And ended up settling on the Sustainable Plant and Soil Systems major in the Plant Science Department. It was really appealing because it was kind of this nice mix of theoretical science, but then some really applied hands-on learning, which is what I was looking for. So, yeah, came to finish my undergrad here in 2017 in the fall. Did that for about 2 years. And then continued on and did my master's here, and then also got a college teaching certification through the education school here. So how I ended up with fruit. yeah, you know, I was interested in plants. Like I said, there was some history there, but, you know, fruit never really stood out to me. I guess it was through one of the classes that's taught by Dr. Jerry Berkowitz. It's an organic and sustainable vegetable production course. His lab component to that class was weekly field trips where he'd take students to see different types of agricultural operations. It could be a fruit farm or a vegetable farm or even kind of like a distillery or things like that. So anyways, ended up at this farm called Raspberry Knoll in North Windham. And that farm was run by Mary Conklin, who was actually my predecessor in this exact position.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And she kind of just threw it out to the class that, hey, I have opportunity for an internship this summer. And I said yes. And I've always kind of been a yes man. And one thing led to another. And I ended up working for her for 5 years during the summer and then also during the semester. Yeah, and got exposed to fruit, commercial fruit production, extension, and loved it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Every once in a while when I look at old photos of campus, you can see orchards. I mean, they had orchards at different places around campus, but as Julie mentioned, they've been gone for a while now. How did you find out about once there had been orchards here, and how did you start thinking maybe we should bring that back?
I guess during my interview when I was giving my presentation, you know, trying to get hired, something that, like I said, the department itself had been really good at is having that hands-on component to learning. And the fruit class that my predecessor taught, it was only introduced in the last 3 to 4 years, and it started out as a one-credit course, just trying it out. There was a really good response from students, so they bumped it up to 3 credits, and enrollment's been really good. Looking at that and looking to the future, trying to expand on that, in my mind, to really have an effective production-based course, you know, you should really have students trying to produce the fruit themselves, or at least being able to go out there and learn hands-on. So, yeah, as part of my interview, I propose that there be a teaching orchard reestablished so that when we're teaching about certain things in the classroom, we can go out to the farm or the orchard and actually see these things in real life. And it was then in my offer letter from the college, you know, there was actually a line in it about reestablishing this orchard.
So, you're like, what did I sign up for?
Yeah, so they're really holding me to that. But it's a really great idea, and there's been a lot of great support from my department head and the deans as well, something that they'd really like to see. And then through kind of proposing that and just talking to people in the department, yeah, you just kind of realize that, you know, there was this extensive orchard in the past, and we used to have different fruit classes that taught students how to grow fruit. There were multiple faculty members that were carrying out research, you know, peaches and apples and things like that. So, yeah, and I guess just through digging and talking to different faculty members, retired faculty members as well, the history kind of revealed itself to be this really rich, in-depth history with strong ties to the community, and the more you learn about it, the more it's unfortunate that, you know, there was kind of a break. I think we're all ready to have it back.
When did it close?
So, from what I can tell, it was around the year 2000 when the last trees were taken out, and it was kind of all shut down, and that was kind of just due to, I guess it was a general shift in interests, not only in students, but maybe the state and the faculty members, away from fruit towards some more agronomic crops or maybe even turf grass and things like that.
And what were some of the things you've heard? Angie, who worked on a video with you, told us that you've heard some real stories of people being really upset about the fruit orchards going away and having some real memories and connection to that. Can you share some of that with us?
Yeah. So I had the pleasure of sitting down with Dr. Berkowitz, who I mentioned before. So he was department head for a little while, and he just happened to be department head during that transition period of the orchard being shut down. And he recalls there being some pretty passionate people, you know, some were quite upset with him, or maybe not with him, but just the decision for it to be shut down. At the same time, people were kind of reminiscing as well, saying, hey, I remember when I used to come with my grandparents to Yukon to buy these apples. We used to have a location. I mean, the building's still there, but it's right next to Gamble, where they actually used to sell the apples, and they were available to the public.
Yeah, it's University of Vince's in there now. And when I was a student here, people still called it the Apple Sales Building, even though it had stopped. It was just like the name had just stayed in the building.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, UConn has an extensive history of agriculture, and yeah, just the way that certain things are referred to, or, you know, you see horticulture over, I think it's Gully Hall, which mm-hmm. is where the president's office and things like that. So, yeah, it's neat to hear that.
What goes into planting an orchard? It's not just, you know, planting trees, right? I mean, there's a whole lot of preparation that you have to do before you can even start planting, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I guess, yeah, you want to have a solid plan. One of the first things that comes to mind is trying to fund the orchard itself. So, trying to find a place to draw some funds, that's definitely a challenge. But as far as planning the orchard, I've had conversations with my department head, Dr. Sydney Everhart, about all of the different things that we could do. So we really want it to be highly diversified. So everything from tree fruit, peaches, apples, pears, cherries, but also smaller fruits, blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, and then also some more kind of novel fruit crops that people don't know about. So aronia, kiwi berry, sea berry, honey berry, kind of all these new interesting things, but also looking at things like cider apples or wine grapes. And yeah, so where do you begin with planning that? I guess the first step that we've taken is to bring on a land evaluation expert. So we have this really nice location at the research farm now. It is, I guess, what they call the back six, and it's 6 acres. It's 3 2-acre fields. So we just want to figure out what can go where. And so we've had Kip Kolsinskis come out, and he did a land evaluation. And we're also looking at the Webb soil survey. So just getting information about what's going on under the surface, as well as what might go where. So that's kind of where we are in the planning process right now. It's just getting kind of more information about the site. And then I think in the next couple of months, we'll start looking at what it is we might actually want to put in the ground and how much of each type of crop. But yeah, it's certainly a process.
And then what is the hope for what's going to go on there? I know when I was reading about when it closed, it was kind of a lot of the research part and the education part had kind of fallen away and it just became fruit sales. This is going to be pretty robust, you hope, right?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, towards the end of the Cold Spring Orchard, it was an extensive orchard, but it was really run kind of like a commercial orchard just to produce food to be sold on campus, which is fantastic, but you're really missing out on a lot of opportunity. So UConn is a land-grant university. It has that tripartite mission, so we're looking at teaching, research, and extension. Something like this has the potential to satisfy and support all three of those goals of the university. So like I mentioned, right now in the books, we have a small fruit production course. We're hoping to get a tree fruit production course and perhaps a fruit IPM course developed as well in the coming years. So being able to have the students go out there either during semester or during the summer. So the thing about the growing season is it often falls outside of the school year. So, you know, some things that we could propose is either a summer course or some summer-long internships where students get time in the orchard and can actually get this hands-on experience. As far as research, it would just be another site of research for us. This position has done a fair amount of research in the past, but primarily that research has actually been done out in commercial fruit orchards. So it's been really nice to actually carry out the research with the stakeholders themselves because they really get exposed to the research process. But sometimes you do run into issues where you have less control because these are businesses. And at the end of the day, you know, it's up to the farmer to make the decisions. So being able to have just a more controlled environment to carry out some of this research is really, really going to go a long way, you know, pursuing more funding for grants and things like that, potentially supporting another faculty position as well. And then if we look at extension, just having a site for demonstrations. Right now we have some extension events that happen at various locations, usually a farm or some sort of conference center and things like that. But it really would be nice to get these stakeholders up to UConn and to just be more involved in UConn and the UConn Orchard and the whole plant science department. You know, I think there's a lot that they could gain from having, you know, a purely demonstrative orchard for some of these new and upcoming production practices and things like that.
You also mentioned potentially dairy bar ice cream flavors, too. So give the people what they want.
Yeah, so that's the other thing, too. And I guess I failed to mention that earlier, but as part of the planning process, it's much more than just planning for the actual orchard itself. So I've been reaching out to a lot of different people in the university. The potential for collaboration with this orchard once it's up and running is huge. So yeah, you mentioned the dairy bar. It'd be great to just be able to produce all this fruit that then the dairy bar can use to make either existing or new fruit flavors, some of these new and upcoming fruit crops that maybe people don't know about. This would be a great way to expose them to that. So I had a meeting with some people in the engineering school, I think specifically chemical engineering department. Right now they have UConn's first brewing science course. I met with them and kind of just told them about the things that we would be growing. And we already have some ideas of things that they want to make using some of the fruit that is coming along. And then also, who else did we talk to? Nutritional sciences department as well. So the list is pretty big. You can think about food services as well. There's just a lot of opportunity for collaboration with this, and everyone kind of loves fruit, or at least maybe one type of fruit. So it's, you know, not a hard sell in my mind.
Pretty cool.
What kind of time frame are we talking about? Because obviously this takes time.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the nature of perennial cropping systems. Usually takes a few years before you actually get any fruit. We did get a pretty nice donation this year in the form of some extra strawberry plants from Jones Family Farm. And we actually put those in the ground already. So those are set up. And next year we're hoping to have some strawberries available to do something with. So, yeah, things like strawberries, those have a quicker turn time. But everything else, it's a few years. And I would like to have plants in the ground next year. I would say 3 years would be an optimistic estimation for when we would have some fruit, at least, to do something with as far as, like, collaboration. But prior to that, you know, students can be learning the whole time. So one of my initiatives with this orchard is to make it a learning process. So I myself, I've never established an orchard. You know, I haven't grown fruit extensively. So this is a learning experience for me. And I'm thinking, if it's going to be a learning experience for me, why not make that available to everyone else? So every step of the way in this orchard process, we are documenting it and making videos. So Angie made a really nice video. It's going to be about the history of the old fruit orchard, which was a fantastic introductory video. The next one is going to be that land evaluation piece that I mentioned earlier. So we're going to have Kip out and, you know, some videographers, and he's actually going to walk us through what it looks like to evaluate a piece of land and what types of things that you should be looking for. The next video will be looking at picking your plant material and how to actually plan the orchard, you know, like you were asking. So every step of the way, we're trying to make some deliverable items that we can share with both, you know, our agricultural stakeholders, but also homeowners and just the Yukon community as a whole.
It's like a quintessential research university, ag university project that can just cover all those bases. I love it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool. You did mention just now for homeowners, I was wondering, while we have you here, mm-hmm. do you have like a hot tip? Like, what's your favorite gardening or like for the everyday?
I actually have apple trees. So this whole thing was an elaborate ruse to get you here.
For Tom.
Yeah, my best tip would probably be, if you're looking at any type of fruit, do a little research ahead of time and make sure that you're picking a good variety or cultivar. So there's a lot of them out there that are either resistant to different pests and diseases. That's the best thing you can do to just set yourself up for success, is just make sure that you have proper plant material. And then beyond that would be proper site selection. So a lot of these fruit crops that need full sun, they don't like wet feet. So if you're putting them in a wet field and it's a little bit shady, then they're not going to be happy.
I imagine that the new orchard will have deer fencing, but for homeowners, if that's not practical for, is there anything you can do about deer? That's my arch enemy.
Deer are tough, you know, aside from physically excluding them from an area, there's not much that you can do. I know there are some like deer and rabbit repellent chemicals. I don't know what those are traditionally made out of or how well they actually work. I know I was just spreading some supposedly all natural deer repellent around my garden and or rabbit repellent, and then the rabbits were in there the next day. So I don't know.
So if even you can't keep them out, that gives me hope.
Yeah.
Total failure.
Yeah. Yeah. My next door neighbor also has fruit trees, and we kind of collaborate on stuff. Mm-hmm. And he got a bag of hair from like some kind of predator of deer.
Sure.
And spread it everywhere. And he's like, this is going to take care of it. In like 2 days, the deer were back. I mean, so now we just have hair all over the place.
Sure.
Yeah. They're very resilient.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They'll definitely get to it if they're hungry.
Yeah.
The orchard will be fully deer fenced.
Yeah, so yeah, it is inside. So it's the old orchards weren't deer fence, and right now we have a really nice research farm, and it is completely enclosed in, I think, a 10 or 12 foot deer fence. So that's, yeah, one of my recommendations for any growers. If you want to start growing fruit, that would probably be a great place to start, is, you know, excluding those critters.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you, Evan. The website is fruit.chnr.yukon.edu. You can learn more about the orchards there.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this info with us. I can't wait to see the orchard take shape.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Very cool. Thank you.